Amen. He's Emmanuel. That's right. Asking all these questions of who this one is. And when we come to this Christmas season and we think of the babe in the manger, if we are to accept the babe in the manger, we are to accept all that he is. And there are many who would think of the baby Jesus, but perhaps they do not think of all of the ramifications of what that means. To believe in this one who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, the title for our message is Reasons Why Jesus Christ Came. Reasons Why Jesus Christ Came. And we're going to look today at some of the his exact claims as to why he came to this world. So before we go ahead, we've already had one reading this morning from Luke and chapter 2 in verses 1 through to 21. Let's also now turn to Matthew, please. Although we will not be focusing close in on these passages, it's good to read this in light of the season. Matthew and chapter 1. And we are going to read from verse 18 through to the end of the chapter. And the Bible reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We do come before you this morning, Heavenly Father, giving you thanks and gratefulness in our hearts, Lord God, as we think of your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God who came to us, God who was born of a virgin, God who lived that perfect life as a man here on this earth to be the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believed, not only dying for our sins, but being buried and being rose again. We give you thanks this morning, Lord God. I pray that you would warm our hearts, you would challenge us, encourage us, strengthen us this morning from your word. I do pray that you would please enable me, Lord, beyond my means and emptying me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak just through your word. Lord, it's beyond me to be able to bring about a lasting change in a person's life. But thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful and you've exalted your word above all your name. You've promised to bless it. So we would ask, Lord God, that you would do that now, as we look into your word at this time. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look today at some specific claims as to why the Lord Jesus Christ came, and there'd be many things we could look at, many different aspects of why Christ came. We're going to look at some of his own claims as to why he came to this earth. And the first one is Matthew and chapter 5, and verse 17. Our Lord said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And you think of all of the Old Testament law and all that was required of the Jew in the Old Testament. And when the Lord Jesus came, he was one who was able to keep the law perfectly. None other was able to keep the law perfectly but the Lord of glory. So this was no ordinary baby that night there in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary, that time, that day that they came into Bethlehem and
The days came, they were accomplished that she should be delivered. And there she brings forth her firstborn son, that miracle child, a virgin birth, something only that God could do, that mankind could never ever do. And laying that precious life there, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying him there in a manger, probably in like a feeding trough. And there, the incarnation, the Saviour of the world. And this was no ordinary child. Truly, the child that lay there before Joseph and Mary was a miracle child. Never would a lie or an impure word pass his sacred lips. Never would his mind devise wicked imaginations. Never would those hands be used in the service of sin. Never would those feet carry him to an evil place for the purpose of committing sin. But on the contrary, our Lord Jesus fulfilled all of the righteous demands of the law. He is both God and man, lived a pure and sinless life. The true great laws of love for God and love for one's neighbor were fulfilled with divine accuracy. So our Lord, fulfilling the entirety of the law, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, 1 Peter 2:22. 1 John 3:5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we think of the Saviour, when we think of this one who was laid in a manger, know that this was one who was without sin. Completely without sin. And that was, well, of course, had to be, if one was to be there to take out the punishment of our sins, he himself would have to be without sin. Also, he came to do the will of the Father. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That was our Lord's mission, to come and to be in complete obedience to the Father. It says that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we see our Lord was completely consecrated in his entire life. Even as a young child, following his birth and his growing up years, he said to his mother, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business." His entire life was one of a subordinate role to the Father. Never would he succumb to the temptation to go and to live in a way that would just simply be for selfish gain. Never would he take his life, take his hands, take his heart, take his mind, take his body and use it in the service of sin or in the service of self, but his entire life was to do the will of the Father. Works that I do not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That was our Lord Jesus. And for this purpose, he was incarnated. For this purpose, the Son of God, the one that we read about there in Micah 5:2, it says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, this one who was God yet man, came to this earth to fulfill the will of the Father. This was our Lord. And you know, if the Lord had not fulfilled all the will of the Father, there'd be no salvation for us. But yet he submitted himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How ought we to be like our Lord to do his will? He also came to serve others, to serve others. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The understanding there of ministering is that of serving. When you speak about someone who is a minister, that means that the understanding of minister is servant. And he came not to be served, but to serve others. And we see that with his life, that from when we see him there in his ministry, just one continuation of obeying the Father and of serving others, of reaching out in love to others, of speaking to people of the need of their souls, of reaching out to those who are suffering, to call out to those who were brokenhearted, the bruised, the blind, all of those. That was our Lord. Came with that mission of serving others. He laid down his life. His entire life was one of sacrifice and of service for the entire of humanity, and ultimately to lay down his life for the sins of the world. Another purpose as to why this one came. Also, he came to be light. to be light. John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And oh wow, nothing in the entire of human history had happened before like this. Such a dark world, such an evil world, and yet light shone. Perhaps during the evenings of those dark nights in the cave or rustic shelter in Bethlehem, a fire or an oil lamp would be lit, and the flickering rays would illuminate the face of the babe in the manger, the light of the world. Perhaps people in Bethlehem so oblivious. Perhaps the sounds of ignorant animals nearby. Those who didn't think much at that time other than taxes and perhaps catching up with family. And yet, the light of the world. The light shone in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. Jesus Christ is still shining, as it were. The gospel light is going forth, but you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But we see a light began to shine. It was true that John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light, but oh wow, he couldn't parallel this light. The light of the Son of the God. I am come a light into the world. That one that lay in the manger was to be the light of the world. As we remember our Lord Jesus this Christmas, let's remember the light which he has brought to our once darkened souls. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as we think of the Saviour who was born in Bethlehem, the light of the world that began to shine in that time, if you have trusted Christ today, know that that same light has shone into your heart. Perhaps you think back and you remember the time. Perhaps you didn't realise how dark your soul was until you trusted in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and that light shone your heart. And for the darkness to flee at that time, Jesus is the light of the world. And he came to be that light. And that light is still shining, as it were, is still shining through the gospel. Have you, perhaps there be some here today who have not yet had the light of the gospel shine in their hearts and that have not yet accepted Christ. Sadly, so many people prefer darkness. You know that? People prefer darkness than to light. You know, Jesus Christ came to be the light of the world. And his whole life, his words, his everything, his vicarious death, his burial, his resurrection, just shone a light which can which can never ever be paralleled. But you know, many people love darkness rather than light. Use this illustration before. One time, door knocking in Manham. Spoke to this man on the door, and I forget what it's called, but it's some sort of a condition that they call it. It's sin, but it's where you, even though you're a human being, you hate other human beings. Hate all of them. Hate human beings. Or just hate human beings in general. And as I'm witnessing to this guy and talking to him, I said, you know, it's funny how you get saved. And I said, you know, and God can take your hatred away. He said, I don't want him to take it away. Prefer rather to be in darkness and to hate. And a lot of people prefer that. They don't want to get off their drugs. They love it. They want to stay there. Even though it causes them sorrow, even though it causes them pain, they stay there. Their life is a shambles in their marriage. They're fighting. They're going through the divorce courts. And yet, they won't turn to Christ. They know that their alcohol is dragging them down. They know that they are losing their finances. They know their lives are a wreck. But they love darkness more than they love light. They might know that their religion doesn't have the truth. They might know that it's absolutely dead. Even if it be in a church, they know that it's absolutely dark. But they love darkness more than they love light. And when the light of who Jesus Christ is and the light of the gospel shines into their hearts, they run for the shadows because they love their sin. this baby who was in the manger. Perhaps many people could subscribe to that and say, ah, yes, they love the baby in the manger. But Jesus Christ, the burning and shining light, who put his finger on their sin, they won't accept that. When we think of this one, the light, the holy and pure light of Jesus Christ shining into your heart, if you are still in darkness, don't run to the darkness, but rather run to the light. Run to Jesus. Run for the cleansing of your sins, and there you will receive forgiveness. Some people have only ever known the false light of religion, but they've never known the Saviour. They've been in churches, they've been close to the light even. They've been around the light, but they have not yet come into the light. They have not yet been forgiven. Is that you? Not only did he himself be the light, and we now have the light of the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we also have, as believers, the light of his presence. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We no longer have to be in darkness. Even as we are saved, don't have to any longer be out of the presence of God and in darkness, but rather we can have fellowship with him. Perhaps there'll be some today and you say, I remember the light of God's presence when I got saved, but I know that sin has come in between me and my God and I feel I'm in darkness again. Do you know God makes a way through the blood of Christ to come back into the light of fellowship? And perhaps that's what you need this Christmas, is to come back into the light of the presence of your Saviour, okay, who wants you in fellowship with him. When we think of the one who came, we often think of all the blessings, don't we? And of all that Christ did, and so we should, absolutely. But do you know that the babe in the manger who came to bring division? Oh no, isn't it all love and unity? Actually, the babe who came in the manger brought about division. Ever since that day in Bethlehem when the virgin gave forth that precious child, the God-man, and he grew up and took part of his earthly ministry, there has been division ever since. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. People think Christmas, it's a time where we all come together. Christmas, it's a time where we get together with family and with friends and we have a good time together, we have a meal together, we give presents and you know, it's just this wonderful family gathering that we have. Do you know, not always, sadly. Perhaps some of you have been to a family gathering, perhaps yesterday, perhaps in the past week, perhaps you're going to be at one today or tomorrow. And yet there is a great divide between you and the ones that you love. And although you can come together, there is an unseen line drawn. There's a divide deeper and greater than the Grand Canyon, because you are with Jesus Christ and they are not. You might remember the Christmases when you were as thick as thieves with your family, and it was all, Christmas was just this wonderful big party and everybody was all together and there was no hassles. But then one day you got saved and that changed everything. And the sword came into your family and you feel it come Christmas Day. We often think of Christmas Day as a time of joy. For some of you, perhaps it brings sorrow to your hearts because you know that there are family members who perhaps you won't even exchange a text message with today. The divide is so great. And you know, when our Lord Jesus came to earth, he came and he brought division with him. And you know, Christians, when it comes Christmas time, they need to stay on the right side of the divide. And sometimes they will say, oh, you know, I'm just going to let it go because it's Christmas. No. No. It will cost you to really stand to really stand with the one who lay in the manger, who is now now risen and ascended up on high, who has completed his earthly ministry, to stand with him will bring about division in your family. And some days for you, Christmas, some years Christmas will bring sorrow to your heart. But you know, it is far better to spend Christmas alone with Jesus than it is to compromise, than it is to sin come this special season. When it speaks about setting a man at variance against his father, the understanding is to cut into two parts, to cleave asunder, to sever. And you know, that's true Christianity. You are either with Christ or you are not. And it brings about repercussions. There is a cost when it comes to Christ, trusting Christ and following him. So that this precious baby, this God who came to us in human flesh, has also brought to us division. Another reason was to be a king. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. He's answering in the affirmative, absolutely, Jesus is a king. And he says, To this end was I born, and for this cause came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So these two things of being a king and also of bearing witness to the truth. And how many even believers subscribe to the baby in the manger, but you know what? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords would not be welcome at their Christmas party, because they were quite happy to remember the baby in the manger, but the things that they would do at their Christmas party, Jesus would not be happy with. Think about it. You imagine, not being irreverent, you imagine the Lord of Glory coming to some Christian's Christmas party and hear him say, Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it moveth itself in the cup and giveth its colour in the... It moveth itself right and giveth its colour in the cup. For him to come to the Christmas party and say, Women should wear modest apparel. To have him come and say, Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Some very shallow Christmas parties. Some very shallow family gatherings where people come and would subscribe as though they are celebrating about the baby in the manger, but yet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wouldn't be welcome there. Because you change it. To walk into the relaxed lounge room and say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, with someone watching the TV on Christmas Day. He came to be a king. Is Jesus Christ ruling your heart? Is Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart? Is he going to be ruling your Christmas party this year? Is he going to be ruling your family gathering? Do we sometimes forget who the one in the manger is? The one who lay in the manger is now seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He is the one who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Ah, so many people, they will quickly lose the Christmas spirit if they were to see Christ in that way. He came to be a king. Not just simply to give us a warm and fuzzy feeling, but to rule and to reign. I'm all for meditating on the person of Christ and of his incarnation there in Bethlehem, but let's remember who he is. He also came to bear witness unto the truth. He said there before Pilate, For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. What a day that was, and what a day it is today, where the truth is so easily pushed aside. Pilate, perhaps in disgust, said, or just thinking this is crazy, said, What is truth? And walked away. Don't we live in that day too, where truth is, people say, it's truth is whatever you believe. You say, oh, truth is unknowable. You can never know the truth. Oh, who knows what the truth is? Basically, there's so many opinions out there. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. We'll never know. Yet Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he came to bear witness of the truth. Completely, in every way, always spoke the truth, taught the truth, was an advocate for the truth. And you know, there are so many believers today who remember the precious Lord Jesus who lay in the manger, but yet they are walking away from him who is the truth. They turn away from good Bible-believing teaching churches and they go off into error churches. They change their mind about what they believe the scriptures say and they go off into the oblivion and darkness of error. Came to bear witness for the truth. Christ loved the truth. He himself was the truth. When Pilate said that he was the incarnate word of God, truth standing before him. Pilate will stand before him again one day. He already would know that Jesus is the truth. But what that will be for Pilate one day to stand before him and to remember that night when he stood before the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. We need to love the truth. About to go into a new year here at this Christmas day, as we remember our Lord, remember that our Lord is the way and the truth and the life. Remember that he came to bear witness to the truth and love the truth, people of God. People sell the truth. They sell their birthright. They say this straight down the line Christianity is just too hard and we're going. Or their children say, Mum and Dad, we're going. And Mum and Dad say, oh, okay then, we'll follow you. We'll float off to wherever you're going to. And they walk away from the truth. They still subscribe to Christ, but they're walking away from the truth and how often walking out of fellowship with him because they will not stand by the truth. Remember, this Christmas, the truth. Don't wander off into holidays walking away from the truth, but stay close to the Lord Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's so sad when people begin to turn their trajectory away from the truth. You know, we need to have a love for the truth. It's the beginning of the end when people do that. When people say, you know what, it's just too hard this way, I'm just going to take a bit of a direction, different direction, and it's the beginning of the end. Where are you today regarding the truth? I'm here because of the Lord Jesus this morning. Do you love the truth? Where is your heart regarding the truth? Are you listening to the truth? Are you obeying the truth? Are you interested in being where the truth of the Word of God is preached? Let's think about it this Christmas. Where are we when it comes to the truth? He also came to seek and save the lost. Matthew 9:13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came, to seek for sinners. That was his heart. He came to die. He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
So what is it? What's your thought?
Yes, there. From their sins. That's why he came. Not simply to help us to remember a good example. Not simply to remember some sacrifices and some love and some self-service, some self-sacrifice and some service for others, but he came to die for your sins. You know, have you trusted Christ? Have you been forgiven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have your sins been washed away? You know, think about the wise men who came seeking for Jesus, and they came looking for this King of the Jews, following that star in the east, and came asking, inquiring, And it's been said that wise men still seek him. Have you heard that voice? They say wise men still seek him. But do you know he came seeking for you who are saved? And for you who are lost here today, do you know he has come seeking for you? He is still seeking for you. He is still the light of the world. He is still seeking for you. And you say, would he really want me? Me who is so sinful. Me who am so wicked. The darkness of my heart, the things that I have done, the places I have been, the people I have been with. He comes seeking you. He came to save sinners. He said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came looking for sinners. You say, I'm a terrible sinner. Well, he came looking for you. He came looking for me. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. You know, that's why he came, because we're sinners. He wouldn't want me because I'm a sinner. No, he came for you because you are a sinner. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, some people say, well, I'm okay. You know, I've had my religion. Oh, you know, I'm with this church or that religion or whatever. But no. No, he came seeking for you. And it's when we repent of our sins and trust Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. That is when we receive forgiveness. He's seeking you. This couples in a bit with our last point. He also came to give life. To give life. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Came to bring us life. You say, but are we not alive already? Are we not, you know, what do you mean give us life? We're alive, we're here. No, he was speaking of eternal life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you have life today? You know, you cannot have life without the Lord Jesus. You say, I'm alive. Yes, but you're dead. I'm here, I'm awake. Yes, but you're dead spiritually. And you cannot have life without the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that nobody else ever claimed that to be the way, the truth, and the life? All of the different religious leaders through history, Buddha never claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Muhammad never claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. The different gurus and Sikhs didn't claim to be the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot have life without the Lord Jesus. You cannot have truth without the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are to have life, Jesus Christ is your only hope today, that you will not live an eternal death. And that's why he came. He came for you that you could live. And you say, I've trusted Christ and say, well, aren't you glad this morning that he came to give you life? That little life there in the manger was the one that would grow up to be the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And you found that that time that you trusted Christ, you came alive for the first time. Remember that this Christmas. The new life in Jesus Christ. He not only does he say that, he says, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, when that one that lay in the manger one day was laid upon a cross and died for the sins of the world, not only did he deal with our sin, but we as believers, he dealt with ourselves as well. And he wanted to give us a more abundant life, a more full life. And let's remember that this Christmas, that Christ, when he came to give us a more full life spiritually. That there is a deeper life to be entered into, a life of dependence upon the Saviour, one of greater joy and greater fullness and greater fruitfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for coming to be born born of a virgin and to live that sinless life. We do glorify you. We do praise you. Pray for any here who have not yet made room in their heart for the Lord Jesus. I pray that they would make room for him this day. In your precious name we do pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.